Yesterday, Apple introduced its new radio music streaming service, iTunes Radio. When the service launches in the fall, it will offer users more control over what music they hear. Whether or not Apple will further revolutionize the way we stream music remains to be seen, but it is expected to be a top competitor to Pandora. And one thing is apparent, the Internet is flooded with new music and independent musicians are clamoring to be heard. Musician and composer Chad Lawson is one of them. He began as a pianist in his own jazz trio before switching to solo classical piano. His 2011 release of The Piano was named Classical Album of the Year by solopiano.com. In a moment, we'll talk to Chad Lawson about how the Internet, from streaming to Twitter to Amazon, has helped him gain exposure. And we want to hear from other independent musicians. How have you used the Internet to build a following? Tell us your story. Our number is 800-989-8255, and the email is talk@npr.org. And Chad Lawson joins us now. So good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me, is this announcement of iTunes Radio, is it good news for you? And how is it good news for you and other independent musicians?
You know, I think anything is going to be good news as far as introducing artists that are not as well known as someone on a large label, be it Universal or something like that. I think it's pretty early to tell. I find it really interesting. They kind of went towards the Pandora route as far as instead of going more towards the avenue of, say, Spotify or Rhapsody or sorts. Because at the end of the day, Apple's idea is to sell product, really. I don't really think they actually got into this to challenge Pandora or to be a radio stream or a music stream of sorts. I mean, they want to sell iPads and iPhones and everything that has an I in front of it. Mm-hmm. So it's interestingly enough, they actually made an agreement with the labels as far as what the fee would be. And I find that really, really interesting. So there's no middleman in a roundabout way. They went directly to the large labels and said, you know, let's negotiate, you know, what's fair for both sides. And honestly, I think for them, it was a move to really just sell product. But as far as an independent musician, it's fabulous.
So will they then, if they went to the labels to reach agreement with the labels, then do they go individually to each independent musician like yourself?
That is a great, great question. And I don't know if that's handled through digital distributors, as far as like CD Baby or TuneCore or any of those avenues. That's a really, really great question. Or if it's just kind of a blanket fee, if you will, if you're not a part of that large entourage.
Well, before we go any further in this discussion about music, I think we need to listen to a little music.
Okay.
So that our listeners will have a sense of your own music and what it sounds like. So this is a piece from your new album called A Love Is Born. We're going to listen to a little bit of it. So, Chad, tell me about your music. You've had quite an interesting musical journey, and I called you a classical musician before, but this is really not quite classical. Describe your music for us.
You know, with this album, I'm trying to coin the phrase alternative classical, really, because it's not really Chopin, but it's not Philip Glass or, you know, Steve, you know, going into the avant-garde realm. It's more of just kind of a pseudo-classical or a neoclassical style of music. And it has moments of Chopin, which I'm very influenced by, but I almost wanted to make it a little bit more, what is the word that I'm looking for? Kind of across the board, to where you did not have to be a fan of, you know, a certain period of classical style, you know, to appreciate it.
And I can hear the jazz influence in there too.
Very much so, very much so. I was brought up jazz. I first started playing the piano after watching Shana Na as a kid on television. So that's really where it all kind of came about. And then, you know, I studied classically all growing up, and I applied at Peabody Conservatory. I wanted to go that route, and then really got bit by the jazz bug, and then formed a jazz trio, and it was really successful. Actually, we charted really well with the jazz albums that we released on Summit Records. And then after a while, I kind of wanted to get back to myself as far as my own writing was concerned. With jazz, there's a certain element of entertainment. And I kind of wanted to lose that a little bit. I kind of wanted to go back to the root and tell a story. And I didn't feel like I could really do that with jazz, because there's a sense of when you're performing jazz, there is this, you're not really thinking about the audience, me personally. I'm not thinking about the audience as far as trying to connect with. It was almost just like, this is very entertaining. We're trying to outplay each other. We're trying to do this and that. Whereas with the solo piano material, you know, it really is about truly writing a story, speaking from the heart. You know, the emails that I get almost on a daily basis are, you know, I'm going through a very difficult time in my life right now. And I go home and I lay on the floor and I listen to your music. And it totally just, you know, just takes me away from everything that I'm going through. And I never received those emails when I was doing the jazz records. And so that really has a huge effect on me. So right now, for where I am at this stage in life, I want to continue that.
So this, your music would be geared toward a real niche audience, I would think. Okay, so how have you used the internet? I mean, how do you get your music out there so that people are aware of it and are listening to it? And how do you use the internet and everything that's out there to do that?
Absolutely. My mindset is, you know, you record an album and then you don't touch an instrument for the next 6 to 8 weeks. really, because it all is research, and it's basically, you know, finding avenues on Twitter, finding avenues on Facebook and any kind of social media. But really, the other side of the coin is finding music supervisors. As far as those who handle the music in commercials or in films or in television. And that's really been pretty successful for me. That's something that I would rather go after more than anything. I mean, you look at what Moby's album, Play, when that first thing came out. I mean, I don't think there was a commercial on television that did not have that album. And so when you see something like that, when you see a commercial, you're like, who is that song? I've got to figure out who this is, or that film or what have you. That's really where my focus has been, and as far as trying to branch out and build a new audience. Because what happens is when they see, let's say, okay, like there's a new movie out, the Plimpton documentary, and I was fortunate enough to have a piece in there. And it's the part of the film where that piece comes to play, it's a very pivotal moment in the film. And so when you're watching that film and you hear this music, you will connect with that and you will remember that part, because that music kind of creates that bedding, not only where the story is, but also as far as what you're emotionally going through when you see this part of the film. So it's really trying to connect and tell a story through your music with an audience that otherwise may not have ever heard you before.
Let me ask you this. I usually cover books and publishing for NPR, and I, you know, in publishing now, of course, authors have many ways to self-publish, to mm-hmm. get their books out there, whether it's just their family buying it. Sometimes it is right. Just family and friends are buying it, but sometimes a book really takes off and becomes a bestseller. Sometimes it goes on to get a contract with a regular publishing company. Is there a similar track going on with music? I mean, do you, in a way, self-publish your own music somehow?
Absolutely.
And then how do you get the attention to it?
Well, and that's the second part is the difficult part. Yeah. So, you know, the ability to go and record and make something and put it up on iTunes or Amazon or what have you, it is incredibly easy. Now, the way of being found on iTunes or what have you, that is the difficult part. That is the difficult part. So whereas, you know, we do have the ability, the ease of being able to release material, now it's finding, okay, what do I need to do to attract people? How do I find bloggers? You know, how do I find people that are interested in this genre of music that I'm doing, and then have them write about me or have them listen to me? So you're constantly looking for that 6 degrees of separation. Like, okay, I am desperately trying to be chosen for iTunes Pick of the Week as far as Starbucks goes. And so, you know, each morning I get up at 4:30 and I start my day. Who can I connect with? Who do I know that is eventually going to lead me to certain points? So you write down these goals of like, this is what I want to accomplish. And then you just really, truly start networking. And for a lot of musicians, that's a really difficult task for them, because mm-hmm. they really want to go. At the end of the day, it has nothing to do with music. It doesn't. It really, truly doesn't. And that is the hardest hurdle for any musician to jump over.
Well, would you hire a publicist?
You can if you have the budget.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the budget. And the thing is, no one's going to do it for you. Even if you do have a publicist. That publicist does not have the elbow grease, the blood, sweat, and tears into your own art that you do. And so you find yourself wanting to go further. There was an instance a couple of days ago that I was trying to prepare and connect and put something together. And a lot of things kind of fell through the cracks. And it was because I kind of let someone take over and do it.
Uh-huh.
And the entire time I'm just like, I should have never done that. I know that had I done it myself, it would have gotten done. And so it's very hard to let go. To allow someone to do that, because no one's going to work on your material as much as you are.
We are talking with musician Chad Lawson, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And we're going to take a call now. We're going to go to Sean, calling from Stockton, California. Hi, Sean.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to just talk about, I play in a local band, and we kind of are like the caller you've got, or like your guest there, we have a real niche crowd as well. And we use the internet, basically just to get our music heard through any free channel available. So, you know, MySpace, Twitter, Facebook. And we've also used SoundCloud quite a bit. We recorded, at a local studio here that recorded us for free. They liked our music and kind of did it pro bono to help us out. And because of that, we're able to put our music up on the internet through SoundCloud for free and post it to all these social media avenues to really ask people and other people to help spread our music. And it's helped for us to land more gigs and things like that.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call, Sean.
No problem.
SoundCloud's tremendous. SoundCloud is really a wonderful way. I had someone send me a tweet saying, you know, I just found you on SoundCloud. Can you explain what it is? And basically, it's a platform to put up, you know, if it's something that you're working on or an entire album. And it's very easy to just go to the website and find people. And I have found some of my favorite artists I really enjoy. They're beginning to put, you know, material that they have never released up there. SoundCloud's a really tremendous website and very easy to share and very easy to integrate into Twitter and to Facebook. It's a wonderful and free tool. You can kind of upgrade as far as size is concerned, but I think they give you, you know, a certain allotted amount of space to use for free at the beginning, and it's a wonderful tool, really great tool.
All right, let's go to Matt, and Matt is calling from Sacramento, California. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to share that I started doing music on online and selling stuff online through iTunes a few years back, and somebody posted one of my songs. I do like reggae music and stuff, and somebody posted one of my songs to YouTube, and it's up to like 4 million views now, and I've gone from like maybe $60 a month to like a guaranteed like maybe $500 to $600 in sales a month just through the iTunes and Spotify and things like that alone.
So you can actually make some money.
I'm surprised. Yeah, I was just doing it for fun, and I love doing music and doing reggae music and things like that. And then I just I go by Ross Matthew, and it just took off. All of a sudden, now I get all these sales in Belgium and France all day, and I can't believe it.
All right. Well, glad to hear that you're having good luck with that, Matt, and hope you have some more good luck in the future. Thanks so much for calling us.
Okay, thank you.
And to Matt's point, to the caller's point, I have so many friends that have recorded music, and it's doing nothing but sitting on a shelf. And if I could just set them down, I would turn blue in the face the amount of times I've said this, of regardless if you think someone is going to buy it, put it out there.
Yeah.
It's very affordable to do. It's very easy to do. And as with this caller, Matt, you see exactly what happened. It was completely unintentional almost, to where something just took it and ran with it. So, I mean, if you have music, what good is it going to do if you've already produced something and it's sitting on a shelf and it's so easy to put out there these days?
Let's see if we can get one more call in. Gary calling from Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Gary.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hi. So I got involved with a website back when MySpace was still a big deal. And it's called thegzp.com. And it's kind of like SoundCloud or kind of like Reverb Nation, but it's got press kits. We've developed really cool press kits the big thing about the website is that we have a whole community of people, but it's kind of this worldwide community of electronic computer-based musicians. And so we're able to collaborate. We're able to talk to each other and support each other, even though, you know, one of my friends, Nowinski, is in Australia, and the other one's in Scotland, and you know, so, and then we, and then with the website, while it's not big and it doesn't cost any money, we're able to, you know, do this work. Like he was talking earlier about having a publicist, and the publicist is not going to do all of that work for you. And so this is a way to, the community and the website is just a way to help musicians, you know, who don't know. You, like, oh, I can play music. What do I do now?
All right. Well, Gary, thanks so much. Thanks so much for calling us. And again, building community, that's another interesting way that you can use the internet as a musician. But I want to ask you, Chad, before we run out of time, you've got a new album. How can people hear it? How can people listen to it?
It is everywhere. It is. I have tried.
It's in the air.
I have tried to make sure it is everywhere. It is everywhere. It's anywhere from Spotify to iTunes to CD Baby to Amazon. And that's another thing as an artist, is you have to put yourself out there everywhere, absolutely everywhere. So you can go to my website, and there are the links there to the new album, The Space Between. And I just hope you go and listen to it and enjoy it.
And The Space Between is available now. So thanks so much for joining us, Chad, here in Studio 42.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Tomorrow, Life Interrupted. Columnist Suleika Jawad talks about how, 2 years after her leukemia diagnosis, she's finally getting a taste of freedom. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.